Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is my first ARSC conference, and for those of you who have been so kind as to ask, yes, I'm having a real good time. And I see that I'm on TV. I better comb my hair here. This presentation is an attempt to highlight the artistic development of American pianist William Capel, as heard through selections from recordings made throughout his career, many live and unpublished, and in repertoire not duplicated by commercial recordings. Some of the music is unusual, and for some of you, I hope that there will be some new discoveries. For those interested in more details of the man's life, I enthusiastically recommend Tim Page's book, William Capel, A Documentary Life History of the American Pianist. It is available from the International Piano Archives at Maryland, and the information is on the handout that you're passing around now. For more information, see Don Manildi. I had a slide of the book, which I lost, so I can't show it to you. Oh, we will need that, won't we? Thanks, Terry. What do you say we start with an excerpt from the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto? just kidding. He left us too, you know.
Just found that out.
Oh, okay. I was faced with a little bit of a dilemma in preparing this presentation. I have only a certain amount of time, and I'm wondering, should I play longer and fewer excerpts, or should I play more and shorter excerpts? And not having the ability to make a decision, I decided to do both. So some of the excerpts you hear will be complete movements, even though some of them may be brief. Curiosity, is there anyone in this audience who had the opportunity to hear William Capel perform in person? Don Hodgman. I need to talk to you about that later. I didn't. Obviously, I'm not old enough. I discovered his playing as a child. I unearthed a very battered copy of RCA LM 1715, the Chopin B minor sonata, and I was absolutely astounded at his technical facility, particularly in the second and fourth movements. So let's begin with what is undoubtedly William Capel's first recording. He was born in 1922. In 1937, he was presented on the radio in the second and third movements of the Beethoven Third Piano Concerto. Leon Barzan conducts the National Orchestral Association.
Thank you.
Excuse me just a moment while I cue my tape. I find that to be very sensitive and refined playing, certainly for a 14-year-old boy. Obviously, he was already steadfastly in search for musical truth, for lack of a better term. Apparently, he did not play this work in his adult years, and it's unfortunate that we have so little Beethoven recorded later in his life to provide us with a window on that aspect of his development. Other than the Concerto No. 2, Beethoven doesn't seem to be a composer that he programmed very often, and few complete performances have survived other than the Second Concerto and a violin sonata. Recently, a portion of the Pathetique Sonata from a Frick recital in 1944 made its appearance, although it has not been commercially issued. And there are a few home recordings made in 1949. There's a slim possibility that the Appassionata might turn up someday. Capel learned this work in La Jolla in 1949 and programmed it for the first time during the Australian tour in our summer of 1953. Reports indicate that one half of each of those recitals was broadcast, so perhaps something from down under will yet be able to turn up. A series of home recordings made in 1940 give us a glimpse of the young artist playing for himself. One is curious, the excerpt of the first movement of the Mozart Sonata in C major, K545, the famous little C major sonata, which is incorrectly listed in the discography as Kerschel 330. The artist kind of piddles at it, plays an excerpt rushing through passages, suggesting that this was his tutorial. He was learning how to operate the recording machine. Others, on the other hand, are fine performances, and several have been released on CD recently, and we'll come back to that shortly. For Capel, the major event of 1941 surely was the winning of the Walter Naumburg competition. As a part of the prize, he was sponsored in his town hall debut on October 28th, 1941. A few fragments of this recital have survived, nothing in its entirety. A transfer to tape was made, and one of Capel's students recalled having heard it in the early 50s, but so far no trace of it has turned up. There's my lost slide. This is the Tim Page book. There we go. Capel signed with RCA as an exclusive artist in 1944. His first recordings, the Rachmaninoff Prelude in C-sharp minor, coupled with three preludes by Shostakovich, and the Liszt Mephisto Waltz were released in 1945. The Liszt is surely one of the most exciting, absolutely stunning performances of that work that I've ever heard. The first four takes of the Prelude in C-sharp minor were recorded in December of 1944. The fourth was approved. However, I don't know if it actually made it to the shelves of the record stores. In March of 1945, he recorded a fifth take, which was also approved, and that is the one that was substituted for number four, if indeed number four actually did get released. Capel's earliest complete concerto recording originated with his Boston Symphony debut with Koussevitzky in 1943. They performed the Kachaturian Concerto, a piece Capel would perform throughout his career, and one that would be associated with him always. Towards the end of World War II, specifically January 14 or 15, 1944, Capel again performed this concerto, this time with Ormandy and the Philadelphia Orchestra. It was an impressive affair of state. The young Soviet ambassador Andrei Gromyko was present in the audience. The concert was recorded, and the broadcasts were flown to the USSR for rebroadcast on Soviet radio. As of this date, I'm not aware of anyone having turned up a copy. In the 10 years following his BSO debut, Capel recorded concerti either during live broadcast performances or in the studio in a handful of cases by Brahms, Faya, Prokofiev, Kachaturian, Shostakovich, Bach, Beethoven, Rachmaninoff, and Strauss. He apparently had the ability to absorb entire works very quickly. In 1948, Fritz Reiner, who was then conductor of the Pittsburgh Symphony, invited Capel to appear with the orchestra in the Strauss Burlesque. Did I say something wrong? You're shaking your head. Capel was unable to persuade Reiner to program some other selection, so 5 days before their initial meeting, he began learning the work, one which he had not studied previously. Five, I imagine, very intense days later, he performed the work for Reiner, and ultimately they gave three performances together. This excerpt dates from February 1, 1948, and so for the second time at this conference, we get to hear the Pittsburgh Symphony conducted by Reiner.
Thank you.
to say, if not always, no perfect. Capel was an exciting pianist. This was not the only time he learned to work on short notice. He learned the Brahms Violin Sonata in D minor overnight for a meeting with Yascha Heifetz. They later recorded the work together in 1950. Here's a recording of a different kind of ensemble playing. When Madame Samaroff, Capel's teacher, passed away in 1948, a number of her students, including Capel, formed the Samaroff Foundation to perpetuate her memory and establish a scholarship for young pianists. 2 years later, in commemoration of her passing, Capel, Rosalind Turek, Eugene Liszt, and Joseph Batista, all Samaroff students, performed the Bach Concerto for four claviers in A minor, BWV 1065. This is really Bach's arrangement of Vivaldi's Concerto for four violins in B minor, opus 3, number 10. This is the second movement from the performance of May 20, 1950, with the strings of the NBC Symphony conducted by Milton Cadens. Sorry to have to leave off there. This is not typical literature even today. The Chicago Symphony performed this work during the late 70s. I heard that on the radio. This is the only other occasion I'm aware of in which this music has been offered. There are a few recordings available. You can have your choice of four harpsichords or four pianos. Moving on to the chamber music performances, of which there are only a handful. They date from the latter years of Capel's life. His first, the Brahms' first viola sonata, which is opus 120, number 1, was recorded in May of 1946 with William Primrose, followed less than a year later with the recording of the Rachmaninoff cello sonata with Ephraim Kurtz. That was April of 1947. The Brahms' violin sonata, mentioned previously, dates from 1950. Capel and Heifetz had intended to record more violin and piano works and some trios with Piatigorsky beginning in December of 1953, right after Capel returned from his Australian tour. Of course, that didn't happen. Two additional works, the Beethoven Violin Sonata, opus 12, number 1, with Arthur Grumio, and the Mozart Piano Quartet in E-flat, Kerschel 493, with Grumio, Milton Thomas, viola, and Paul Tortelier, cello, from the 1953 Prades Festival are available on CD. And also there's a 1951 Schumann Quintet with the Fine Arts Quartet of Northwestern University. And I've included in this category the recently discovered six Schubert Lieder, in which Capel accompanies Maria Stotter, again from the 53 Prades Festival. That tape, it turns out, there was a copy in the RCA vault that had been forgotten for some time. In 1945, Capel gave a recital in Carnegie Hall for which he received a scathing and very unfair review. Fortunately, the recital was recorded, and a large portion of it has been released, serving to vindicate Capel on every count. He played very beautifully that evening. I would refer interested parties to the recordings that are available from IPAM. Seen here, the original LP version of selections from the 45 and also a 1947 recital. This is now out of print on LP, but is available on cassette, and the small LP of mainly excerpts. As Capel matured, he developed into a sensitive and refined artist. His repertoire expanded and reflected this maturity. Among the recordings, we find this in sonatas and concerti by Mozart, short piano works by Schubert, and Debussy, the Children's Corner Suite, and this next recording, the Suite Brigham Mask. I wish I had time to play it all for you, because for me, this is one of the highlights of this particular recital. It's rather interesting to note that he improvised a few sonorities before beginning, creating a perfect cadence at the beginning of the work. Authentic cadence, sorry. Mrs. Capel told me that this recording may have been his first public tryout of this work. This is the last movement from the Connecticut College recital of October 17, 1951. Thank you. Cappell felt very strongly that the Copland Piano Sonata was one of the finest contemporary American piano works and programmed it frequently. In a letter to Madame Samaroff in 1946, he stated, "It is a strong work, the strongest yet for piano by one of ours." Once during a performance in Brazil in 1948, two gentlemen in the audience began striking each other with newspapers, arguing the merits of the work. The recital of March 1, 1953 was the second of two known broadcasts from the Frick Museum. A complete tape of this performance sat forgotten on a shelf in the RCA vaults. Shortly before his passing earlier this year, Jack Pfeiffer discovered the tape. The sound is quite good, included our Mussorgsky pictures at an exhibition, some Chopin works, and the Copland Sonata. Here is the second movement, marked Vivace, which requires tremendous technical facility and strength, and yet great delicacy as well.
Thank you.
Ravel's favorite work by Chopin, the Polonaise Fantasy. Individually, the Chopin mazurkas are charming miniatures based in the folk traditions of the composer's native Poland. Taken as a whole, however, the 50-something mazurkas are one of the treasures of the 19th century piano literature. Capel recorded roughly half of the mazurkas, in my opinion, one of the pinnacles of all recorded pianism. As a bit of an experiment, let's compare two recordings made a little over 10 years apart. From 1940, the mazurka Opus 7, number 1. To repeat, this is a home recording and may not have been intended for any critical audience other than the pianist himself. Therefore, this may not represent his final thoughts on the matter of mazurka style at that time. He never recorded this work again, so for comparison, I followed it with an Opus posthumous mazurka recorded by RCA in the early 1950s. Both are in the key of B flat. Both are of the same somewhat extroverted style, you might even say gently heroic. Thank you. what's currently available from the Capel discography and what's forthcoming. From IPAM, in addition to the 1947 and 1945 and 1947 Carnegie Hall recitals mentioned previously, an LP of Chopin mazurkas. Sorry, it's only available on LP because of the licensing agreement with RCA. You just heard an excerpt from it. Two CDs on the BMG label featuring the 1953 Chopin B flat minor Sonata, recorded during his last performance in Geelong, Australia, the studio recording of the Sonata No. 3 and the Balance of the Mazurkas. The other CD contains nearly half of his studio recordings of concerti, his first, Kachaturian Concerto with Koussevitzky in the BSO, and the Prokofiev Third with the Dallas Symphony conducted by Antal Doraty. And returning to the catalog, that staggering Liszt Mephisto waltz. Not shown is the Brahms Violin Sonata in D minor with Heifetz, which is contained in the complete Heifetz set. Two CDs on Video Artist International of live radio broadcast, including the Rachmaninoff Third Concerto and a live Kachaturian Concerto. On Music and Arts, the Prokofiev Concerto No. 3, recorded about 6 weeks after the commercial version, and the Faya Nights in the Gardens of Spain, desperately in need of a better transfer, both live with Stokowski and the New York Philharmonic from 1949. Volume 2 of the Casals Festival, containing several chamber works, has already been mentioned. On Melodram, and also available on Arcadia, the Brahms Concerto No. 1, New York Phil, conducted by Metropolis, May of 1953. The most interesting new CD is on Pearl, released in February of this year, 3.5 years in the making. Outstanding transfers by Seth Winter, so what else is new? And the selections are all making their commercial debut. It features the 1953 Prades Festival recording of 6 Schubert Lieder with Maria Schotter, the Rachmaninoff Paganini Rhapsody in Good Sound from 1945, Metropolis and the New York Philharmonic, the Beethoven Concerto No. 2 with the NBC Symphony, Vladimir Golshman conducting, recorded one day prior to the studio version, and several recordings from the 1940 home series, a Chopin Polonaise in A-flat and the Prelude in E-minor. Seth and producer Alan Evans work from the 1940 originals for this release. The noise level is rather severe at times, especially on the prelude where the piano is just whispering away. Yet I must commend Pearl for having the vision to release this recording on the basis of its artistic merits rather than rejecting them on technical ones. I'm very enthusiastic about this CD. I obtained a copy in February. The novelty still hasn't worn off, and once I turn it on, it's very hard to turn it off. Interest in Capel's recordings would seem to be on the rise, sparked by the new CDs and Tim Page's book. The BBC recently presented a 6-hour retrospective of Capel's recordings, and BMG Music has committed to a Capel edition CD set, aiming for release in 1997, probably the latter part of the year. One might assume it will commemorate the 75th anniversary of the pianist's birth in September. With Jack Pfeiffer's recent passing, the project was delayed but is still on. The set will include, now this is what I was told when I talked to someone at RCA recently, all of the approved and live material in their possession, and which is currently being assessed. They will be working with the family for permission to release appropriate items more than what was authorized. There are some recital tracks and unreleased recordings, but when I talked to them, they had not made a final decision about what would be contained. They also mentioned that they would probably not include concerto air checks, as these are not RCA's property unless possibly it adds to the discography. I hope it does. For those of you who are associated with institutional collections, please check carefully in your archives for any undocumented Capel recordings. I know all of our collections are under very careful catalog control, isn't that correct? Well, my little collection is not either. But please look carefully, let me know if you find anything, recordings, programs of broadcast, radio notices, whatever. My address and phone number are on the handout. I personally hope that everything the man recorded will be discovered and eventually brought to light and released. In summation, although some of his recordings have vanished and much of his repertoire is not represented, we are fortunate to have the records that we do have. Looked at as a whole, especially the live performances, they give us valuable insights into the development of one of the major performers of this century. The measure of this man's musicianship will be known by listening to his recordings far more than anything that anyone can say about them. I would like to thank you for your attention and for allowing me to share something with you that is very dear to my heart. I really have enjoyed this. And in closing, I'd like to leave you with what must surely be Capel's shortest recording, all 40-something seconds of Dancing Bagpipes by Abram Chasins, an absolutely charming and unreleased RCA recording dating from June 24, 1952.
Take a really very short 5-minute only break for a set change, and then we'll be back with a demonstration from Tracer Technologies.
Hoot.
Okay.
Should I turn these off? What's everyone's opinion?
Yeah, it's much better if it's off.